Your countdown clock has now terminated function. Your time is up. Your time is up. Your time is up.
Right now, having a national security scare is actually good political news for the president and the White House and the Republican Party.
Morning, you are being monitored by CCTV.
But the problem today is that the situation is so large and so all-encompassing that whatever is going to happen, the whole world is going to feel it. Everything. Everyone's going to feel this one.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Illuminating Radio. Alex Ansari. Outside the Box.
August 20th, 2008. I'm Alex Ansari, right here on We the People Radio Network. We're going to be with you for the next 2 hours. We're with you each week right here at 8 o'clock Pacific Time. That's 10 o'clock Central Standard Time. Check out my website. I got a lot of new news and information up there about the Russia, Georgia, U.S., and soon-to-be China conflict at alexansari.com, last name spelled A-N-S-A-R-Y. You also see my weekly television access show on the right-hand side of the screen. And last week I documented the invasion of Ossetia set up by the U.S. and Israeli government. Again, we've been funding them by the billions since the early 1990s. They're also being set up as a replacement, their military replacement troops for the war in Iraq. A few of our boys go home. We rotate in some of the old Soviet countries, do our fighting for us. It's a really sick, sordid story because you're getting a lot of disinformation from both sides, not just the United States, but from Russia as well. What does China do? They're real quiet at the meantime. They're having their Olympics all of a sudden set up on 888, something that a lot of people were focused on, instead of the invasion taking place on the other side of the planet. Problem is, people are traumatized. Pour me, pour me, pour me another drink. Give me another Pabst Blue Ribbon. Give me another Budweiser. Give me another Camel. You know, just continue to give me something to make myself feel good, because we've just been trained to be addicted to our bodily sensations, constantly wanting to feel pleasure, constantly thinking that we have to be happy all the time, when truly we can take this pain, take this crisis, and transform it into something new. But we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to look at the coordinates. If we want to connect the dots, we've got to take the time, step back, take a look at the big picture, investigate each one of these dots, do the research ourselves, and then come to our own conclusions. And you'll understand, as a lot of you guys know by now, exactly what's going on. Whether you listen to this show or Alex's show, listen to some of the other people on We the People, at some point it actually becomes no longer necessary. And we actually need you, instead of a listener, to be a participant in the new freedom movement. Whether Ron Paul's around or not, regardless, it is about you. There are people out there more articulate than us, that have resources, that have skills, they have the technology, that are great IT guys. Well, guess what? We need great IT guys right now, all over, getting the stuff out there on the web while we have it. The web as we know it, with its free-for-all information, is being shared at a very affordable rate. I mean, you're not paying anything to listen to this, and we're not paying a lot to get out to you. The station is. Some of us aren't. And so when you take a look at that, this is gold what we're sitting on right here, and we should be having discussions. But for the most part, I want to tell you, you know, when it comes down to real solutions, it's having, like, groups set up, communities that are forming in your neighborhood, okay, off the web, off these MySpace groups, forums. I mean, it's a great way to share information, and we've learned a lot through the web, and a lot of us have gotten our voice out there via the web, but we're entering into, you know, a whole different area right now in our country's history. Let's go ahead and switch over to Skype real quick at any time just to see if we can alter the way that the transmission is being brought to you today. I want to mention a couple things briefly about some future guests that I'm going to have come on. I got Leon Legant, who was on my show twice already. He's going to be coming on tomorrow. And Leon is a unique person. He's been talking about the upcoming Chinese-Russian invasion, World War III, not because he follows the news. I think that he needs to look at some of the news a little more. He's a bit traumatized by it and doesn't want to look too closely. His information is coming from dreams he's had his whole life about how this is going to go down in the upcoming years and the economic crash that comes before that, and also major earth changes, including something in San Francisco. So, I mean, a lot of stuff he said is kind of frightening when you look at the world today with the earth changes, with the earthquakes, the volcanic eruptions, the talks of war and more war, plenty of rumors, but lots of disinformation as to why it's actually happening, a food crisis, energy crisis, all by design. And so he's looking at those things, but not from a researcher's perspective, but from someone that's been writing down their dreams for years. We got to that. I'm going to be having Clyde Lewis on, formerly the host of Ground Zero Radio. Used to have a time slot here and on the AM dial in Portland. That's how I found him. He's talking about microchip implants back in 2003 on the radio. And I'm going, I'm not used to hearing talk like this, anti-Big Brother rhetoric on the radio, just on the web. And it sounded a little bit interesting. And so I've known him about 5 years. And we're going to have a discussion about dark subliminals in the media. That sometimes manifest in the world. Some of the things on the screen manifesting in the world. People being triggered by a flash, an impulse. I also think there's a reason why there's a spike in rape. I think there is some mind control that does exist that is there to imbalance the relationship between men and women. There's a lot of weird stuff going on with technology, a lot of imbalance. We got war spirits literally running around our country and planet, bringing down our state of consciousness. So, again, we're going to be taking a close look at even Disney and some of the stuff that's been put in that movie. I mean, you take a look at, like, The Little Mermaid, and you got to wonder, why would they put a penis right there in the logo next to the other obelisk, but clearly drawn a penis, not some sort of a statue, you know, with sex drawn in the sky, the Lion King looks up. There's also a blindfolded naked woman that's in a small shot in the film The Rescuers. And this is all documented. You got to ask the question, if you know that they're doing that, and you knew about the Black Sabbath albums and, you know, the whole kill yourself messages that were in a lot of stuff in the 80s, what else is going on other than just stuff in the media, other than just stuff in, you know, mass entertainment? You know, how about the news itself, some of the commercials, some of the speeches? So we're certainly living in a whole different world. And a person that I'll try to bring on to talk about those things in about a month is going to be Nick Begich. On the 7th of August on the TV show, I'm going to have the 4th of September, Jason Burmison. I just got an email from Trey Kincaid, Alex's producer, a couple hours ago, and they want to get him on. So we're going to talk about his new book, DVD, and that is covering Osama bin Laden. It's a deeper look at 9/11, Osama bin Laden, his history, his family, not just simply the people that were ushered out of the U.S. quickly, September 12th, 13th, 14th, while we weren't allowed to fly, but also some of his intelligence connections. And this stuff's been covered briefly in some of the other 9/11 films. But to really go into 9/11, you need to spend a little bit of time on each subject. Personally, at this point, 2008, I think they're launching World War III. I think they're bringing down the economy. So our movement's a little larger than 9/11 truth. I think there also needs to be a little bit 888 truth coming out, because that was the day that the United States, by design, brought Russia their 9/11 thus, their pretext to go out and invade other countries. As we try to bring Georgia into NATO and other countries into NATO, we're seeing possibly a conflict between Ukraine and Russia. Again, there's just so many pieces of news right now. I'm just trying to keep it real basic and clear. Escalating the conflicts in that region, the old Soviet states. And most people are looking at this going, you know, acting like there's a real war going on. Well, why do Bush and Putin vacation together? Why do they share so much technology together, weather modification together? You know, I see some sort of a ploy to bring in a new world order where a lot of them are working together. It may look like there's different nations, but in the end we could see, a reduction of the human population through a big war. Because what frightens me is this is starting just like World War I and World War II. We're seeing the same economic changes and revolutions around the world. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. All right, new headline. Rice signs missile defense deal with Poland. She did this with her Polish counterpart. This took place today. And they also have one in the Czech Republic. And there are talks about Russia putting some sort of a shield on their own, or some missiles down in Cuba. And they've entered an alliance with Castro and Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. And I don't trust him either, by the way. You know, I have some real hesitations about him and his intentions. But regardless, you're kind of seeing America being set up to fall down hard and knock its teeth out, to be blunt. And it's not a pretty picture. You start talking about this stuff, you try to keep it real calm and simple to someone that's never actually heard the concept that we're being set up by design. There's some big, big changes that are going to be on the front lines, like right there experiencing it. It's not going to be out there or over there or, oh, let's go fight them over here so we don't have to fight them here. You take a look at what the real war is, and it's a war on consciousness. It's a war on humanity. I mean, you can go ahead and focus on one angle, whether it be the police state, the surveillance society, but when you begin to look at the poisoning of the skies, the chemtrails, and there's different theories about chemtrails, but you compound that with other poisons that are entering our bodies through genetically modified food, some of the drinks, aspartame. You look at all this stuff over time, and you see a very strange future that you want to change because you care about the species. Again, inner cell phones. We look at these things called cell phones more than we make eye contact with a stranger walking by us in the street. But I think it's a little more sinister than that when you look at cell phones. Not just, you know, getting people indoctrinated to obsessing over technology, but the radiation, the electromagnetic radiation to be specific, emanated from the cell phone towers. And as I sit here, I find out that, yeah, I am literally like 8 blocks from a whole bunch of cell phone masts that have been put down the street. And you look at that and you realize you're also living next to I'm living next to an affiliate of ABC as well. So you're dealing with those signals. We in the society need to have a deeper connection with nature. And a lot of the challenges we're facing now is because we don't have enough nature. We actually don't hug each other enough. There's a lot of fear. Fear men of women, he may rape you, blah, blah, blah. And then men, their fear of women. And all these different perceptions that we have about how we're supposed to interact in relationships. I mean, none of this stuff is separate. It's actually all part of the same conversation. Major imbalances in the city that aren't going to get better, they're only going to get worse. So people go, I don't want it to get worse. I just want to live my life at the New Age Metaphysical Spa, have my hair done, my nails done, or for the guy, I just want to ride my bike or go to this party and go to this kegger and go up to the mountain and snowboard when I can. You know, please, Alex, just don't tell me that they're starting another war. I refuse to believe that. I don't care how many articles you bring or document or it doesn't matter. I don't want to feel that pain. So we got to crack a major fallacy that this stuff brings us pain. Changing the world can help this world be a better place. It helps us feel better. It helps other people feel better. And when there's enough people trying to actually do something, no matter how outnumbered things may seem, they think they are, there still is an effect. Because, again, it inspires other people. It shows them that they're not actually alone. They're not an island. This stuff is not just conspiracy lore that's being recirculated on the web. This is go time. We're about to walk through the fire, and none of us know really how much time that we have left. You talk about getting food. I did a lot of shows about that, talking about the bins to buy, different types of grains that store from 2 to 5 years, ranging from camu berries to garbanzo beans. You know, I'm not here pitching eFoods Direct or any of those companies. You need to get actual grains at the cheapest rate right now. If you have the other stuff, great. I myself need to get some dehydrated food. But you need some basic solid grains, some rice, stuff that's healthy for you. You know, you mix a couple beans together, some lentils, some black beans, maybe some other things, some mung beans, some pinto beans, and you can create a full protein because there's not going to be a lot of meat going around.
Chemtrails in the air, genetically modified clone processed food, poison water, radiation, and stress have reduced many of you into toxic cyber blobs. You can't go on like this, and I know you don't want to. Do yourself a favor, do your country a favor, be the best you can be, and start taking Enerfood now. Enerfood is easy to prepare and cheaper than a cup of coffee to take every day. And speaking of coffee, Enerfood.com has the best all-organic fresh coffee ever. It's fair trade coffee infused with rainforest polysaccharides to, like Enerfood, improve your immune system and not destroy it. If coffee's not your thing, try the all-organic Coco Mojo. Enerfood is spelled E-N-E-R, Enerfood.com, or give them a call at 866-762-9238. Mention WTPRN and save 10%. Try Enerfood because you can't be awake when you're always falling asleep.
Cascadia Public Radio.
Our telephone number here at the studio is 512-646-1984. I'd love to get your take on this U.S.-Russian-Georgian conflict that we are reading about, you may know about, but most of your coworkers, most of your friends, your parents have no clue. And if they do have some sort of an idea that something's not quite right, they think that Russia's invading and blowing up Georgia. Now, I do want to say that there may be some truth to that. You know, I don't think there's a good guy in the situation. You know, I'm very adamant about saying that on a fairly regular basis. You know, you take a look at reports about women being kidnapped on both sides of the conflict, you start to wonder if something else is going on that no one really knows about. You know, I can't really seem to find that Moscow Times report that initially talked about the Georgian troops that took some of the women. And some of the men were kidnapped and driven away and shot. You had in Ossetia, fathers that were shot in front of their sons and sons shot in front of their fathers, okay? You're dealing with something fairly demonic here. And I really pray for people in this country. that they'll find some sort of safety, that they'll find some sort of comfort, community, connection with other people when we go through this stuff. And I see a lot of stuff coming down the turnpike for Portland. I talked to Leon Legant, the guy who's coming on tomorrow, a little bit on the phone about a half hour ago, and he was talking about, you know, how things are getting real violent in San Francisco. Particularly like his block. You're talking about not the papers and what they're saying, but stuff that you're actually seeing with your own eyes. Stuff that you're hearing about from other people. A couple guys took some baseball bats not far from where I live and decided to go on a beating spree a couple nights ago. Police are looking for him. A couple different attempted kidnappings on women in my area. I actually stepped in the other night on one particular situation where two homeless people were together, and I heard the girl saying, please don't disrespect me, please don't do that, put that away. And you get all these reports, all these different accounts. It's like, are people going crazy? Fortunately, I have to do anything. She was able to get up and walk away. And you also have a lot of people that like to play the victim, so you don't know whether you want to get involved or not, because you can also get stabbed in the back by getting involved in someone else's business. I just want things to be freer. I want to see people love life. I want to see men and women love each other. I want to see people connected. And I don't see it here. I see a lot of fakes. I see a lot of phonies running around with their tie-dye t-shirt and their dreadlocks, thinking they're a part of a community changing the world, where they're just killing time, singing Kumbaya, Kumbaya, my Lord. Oh, God. You know, you want to talk about being spiritual, man. Doing something for other people, not just simply being addicted to our own bodily sensations. All right, let's move on to some other things. Ukraine threatens to blockade Russian ships. This report is coming to us from the Times Online. The threat risks an escalation of the conflict after flying to the capital of Georgia. The president signed an order imposing tough restrictions on the Russian fleet, which is based on the Ukrainian port of, I can't even pronounce some of these names, Sevastopol. His decree instructs Russia to give 72 hours notice of any movements of ships, aircraft, or personnel in Ukraine. Ukrainian authorities were given the power to alter those plans. The Ukrainian foreign ministry has already warned Russia that it will bar ships from returning if they take part in military action against Georgia. Moscow responded furiously, accusing Ukraine of a serious new anti-Russian step. All right, so there's some other things also taking place that are coinciding with that. You have some interest in Cuba, the Russians do. And what do you see? A state of emergency in Florida. I'm not saying there's a connection. I'm just wondering. When you take a look at the threat of a tropical storm. At the moment, though, they say that it's subsiding. And you just can't help but wonder what's going to come next. Russia-Georgia conflict offers a glimpse at a new world order. Again, you see the president of Georgia calling for a new world order, along with the president of Turkey. We'll try to get that article up tomorrow on that new development with the Turkish president, which they're bringing into the EU, bit by bit, piece by piece. Russia-Georgia conflict offers glimpse at the NWO. And this is coming to us from the Wall Street Journal. The report says it's been a week in which Senators Barack Obama and John McCain likely are thinking more about Georgia, the country, than Georgia, the state. And for good reason, the hostilities that have erupted between Georgia and Russia are telling us a lot about the world order. One of them will inherit as the next president. Russia's decision to send its troops and bombs into Georgia is a testament, at least in part, to how much the flow of billions of dollars in oil and gas revenue is emboldening Moscow to defy the U.S. and the West in ways it either won't or couldn't just a few years ago. The troubling strategic reality is that it's embarking on something even larger and bigger than anything we thought. The rise of energy prices also enriching other bad actors, creating a kind of girdling string of well-heeled regional antagonists the U.S. can't ignore. But it's all about, again, this article, framed from the U.S. being the good guy, when in actuality that's not the case. Why they just allow the Russians to take over 10% of U.S. steel and growing. Report goes on, in the Middle East, Iran has assumed the role of energy-enriched regional power hostile to the U.S. with its ability to build a nuclear program and to bankroll Hamas and Hezbollah. Islamist militants made it all the easier by soaring oil prices. Okay, so now let's just get into propaganda. But on the topic of surging oil prices, it came out in the international news, basically, BBC, that energy prices, ironically, while all this stuff's going on, they're going to be going up 40%. And I looked at KATU, the local ABC affiliate here in Portland. They're announcing on the local level it's going to be going up 40%. So, again, we're all going to be feeling this stuff. Okay, we have two phone calls, Brian and Louie. We'll start with Brian in Pennsylvania. How you doing tonight, sir?
Good evening, Al.
What's on your mind?
A few things. You know, I could maybe give you feedback on the Georgia conflict if you'd like, but I really wanted to bring something to your attention and to you know, maybe listeners of your broadcast. I think that you might appreciate it more than some of the other hosts, just because I know that you do kind of delve into more of the you know, spiritual side of things a lot. And recently had somebody contact me with some YouTube clips and some other type of you know, Google videos with a man named David Wilcock. I was wondering if you're familiar with him or his work, some of his presentations. Familiar with the name?
Yeah, I'm just pausing because I'm thinking about his name coming up like six times in like the last 2 weeks. So I think that's a sign that I should get him on the show, because I've seen him talk. I think he's been in What the Bleep Do We Know, a movie that I've seen many, many times that was filmed here in Portland. Well, filmed at a couple places, but the producers of the film are from Portland. And that came before The Secret. I think it's a little bit better than The Secret. Is that the same person, correct?
You know, I don't know, because I saw The Secret and I'm a little bit reserved on that.
No, not The Secret. What the Bleep Do We Know, which came out before The Secret.
Oh, okay. I, you know, I don't think that's one of the films that are one of. I saw him in a couple presentations where he was giving a lecture to an audience, and he was talking.
Yeah, he has gray hair, right? I can bring up the space right now. Okay, well, we have a break coming up. You know, just go ahead and hold that thought. I want to get your take on David Wilcox, the message that he's been sharing with the world, because, again, I've been hearing his name on a regular basis. 512-646-1984. We'll be back in a few.
Great host, great topics, free speech at its best. This is We the People Radio Network.
Tactical, those that turn up their nose, concept of life, you know, what we're seeing on Earth, this, you know, little star in a galaxy of what they think are billions, but I'm sure it's even much larger than that, billions of other stars and planets. And so he was there for this 4th of July event, where there were different speakers talking about the coming changes on the planet, different perspectives. And I heard his name quite a few times, so I'm going to try to get him on as a guest. It might be a month or so.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. I you know, I don't know enough about it to, you know, I'm trying to keep a very objective perspective at this point, and actually since listening to him lecture, I feel that I have more of a profound, you know, objectivity that I maybe didn't have even a week ago. But still, I know so very little about the subject matter that he's discussing to really be able to maybe discern the truth or the deception or the half-truths that maybe he might not even know himself that he is disseminating, you know, because a lot of times I do find with, you know, learning things more and more that I realize that the people don't even sometimes realize that they might not be speaking the whole truth because they don't know it themselves. So it's something that we have the burden of being responsible to try to, you know, be aware of, at least.
And I don't really know a lot about what he talks about. I'm just going to have him on because there's a lot of people that I respect that are into some of the stuff that you and I are into that think highly of him. So based on that, I think he's at least worth talking to. But describe to me, my audience, and let's have her talk about it briefly before the other caller comes on, what's fascinating you? Because I'm looking at his what's fascinating about him? Because I'm looking at his bio, and I see he talks about DNA and how interplanetary climate change is affecting us?
He did go into planetary climate change. He went into how it is maybe affecting all of the planets, mostly due to, you know, the sun. He did go into some really fascinating, you know, thought-provoking theories of us actually having a fundamental change in our cell structure at the DNA level. I mean, I don't know if I'm even speaking it properly because I don't know well enough myself, but talking about how we might actually have, you know, a paradigm shift in the way our DNA is even structured. That is a little bit tough for me to grasp. It's a little bit of a tough pill for me to swallow, but he did have some, you know, very, you know, fascinating images and documents that he was at least backing up his argument with. What I also thought was fascinating was him going into the pineal gland, which is at the very core of our brain, and it is what can, I believe, what can elicit maybe lucid thought, dreams, and kind of is activated when we are sleeping to provide us with that sense of reality even while we are sleeping. He also goes into how the pineal gland transcends many different religions with symbolism and with even maybe with certain technologies. And then he also goes into some very fascinating, also maybe another tough pill to swallow, how there might be mechanical contraptions of some sorts that have been devised over the ages and even currently that have maybe a telepathic ability that are almost a mechanical pineal gland that, you know, is maybe hidden from us that is that has kernels of truth in symbolism and in other ancient writings that have maybe been hidden by what some might call illuminists or some might call, you know, cowards in some respects because they don't feel that, you know, we're worthy of handling some of these things. And maybe in some respects we're not because we're, you know, in some respects not at a very elevated spiritual level. But I think that, you know, hiding things from each other as friends on a small level and hiding things from each other on a grand scale is really just detrimental to us. To each other in a civilization, so
there's a lot really of stuff that would go. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that would go great with what you're already reading and what you're hearing, seeing on these YouTube videos. Bruce Lipton's Biology of Belief is a little bit less metaphysical, but also very interesting because he scientifically proves how our thoughts affect our DNA and how it can alter it for positive or negative, and how external environmental factors can alter our health and overall sense of well-being. And in one of David Icke's books, Love is the Only Thing That's Real, Everything is an Illusion, in the last chapter, he gets into the concept of the wireless internet biologically, the concept of us all being connected, sharing thoughts at times, having similar experiences, synchronicity, tapping into things, And so that gets very interesting as well. And on the topic of the gland that you're talking about, to a lot of people, that's associated, I believe, with the third eye.
Yes, I believe so.
It's and sometimes I'll be at a bookstore and I'll hold a book and I'll feel something pulsing in my head more now this year than before. And then I'll just get this hit, like, you should read this book. Or I'll be looking for information kind of randomly in the metaphysical section for something additional to learn, or is going somewhere on the web and you just get this hit, like, I should be looking at this. I should crack this book open, and maybe, just maybe, you'll crack it open on a page where you're supposed to read a certain paragraph where you go, oh, wow, I never thought about it that way.
Right. I would also maybe, I feel compelled to bring up that, I feel very pulled, and I'm appreciative of myself, maybe, that I'm able to, harness both of these thoughts. But, I feel very compelled to explore this metaphysical or etherical side. I think there are kernels of truth to be had in that. I also am very aware of a more brutal physical world that, is here on a day-to-day basis. And there are things and people and forces that don't give a crap about, our altruistic tendencies or our spiritual cultivation, and will still potentially kick down the door and, have a real bad time, and we still need to not lose focus, when exploring these things, that there are some realities that even if we, can be these glorious people that can transcend humanity, really, though, I don't feel that I personally am there yet, if it even is all possible, and I need to still focus on issues like property rights and law, because I am, aware that there's still this very real world all around me that, can't be ignored.
But a real world that we're here for a reason, and the whole concept of fighting for people's property rights, the ability to live somewhere, combined with your, you don't even have to call it metaphysical, but just down to earth, I love people, I love spirit, I don't like this, I want to change. It's really the same thing when you look at it. That's my mission, Brian, is just to kind of smash that these are two different worlds. They've been separated by people's perceptions and lack of openness about new ideas, whether they come from a faith-based religion or they come from no faith whatsoever, thinking that we're just a bunch of monkeys running around, a bunch of beasts, only the strong will survive, the tough guy will survive, people being taught to be gold diggers, people being taught to use, people being taught to control the people. It's like, picture it this way. You go into a concentration camp in a worst-case scenario, and you think you're going to die. How high do you want your energy to be at that point? I mean, the more work you do towards, tapping into your own energy, builds up your spirit. So when you face those things in the future, even if you have to fight for your life, maybe that belief that you got is just so powerful running through you that the fear doesn't have an effect. And in that moment, where it's you have to make the right decision. If you spend your time clearing your mind, train yourself to never panic, train yourself to never see yourself failing, we're going to come out a lot more powerful in the end. I believe that about myself, and there's a long way, Brian, a long way that I have to go. But it's good that we acknowledge it now and say that we do see that we have to make a change.
Mm-hmm. It is. I just see myself maybe, and maybe even I see it more so in some of my friends, getting so wrapped up in that spiritual exploration that there's a tendency to forget about the very real people that have no respect for that and would still potentially either flood you over the head or do something that would, negate all of that growth.
Well, I don't think everyone has that power, but yeah, I see what you're saying, and they're all around me. My neighborhood's getting more violent by the week. All right, Brian, we'll be back for a few, and we got to talk to Louie in Texas.
We the People, We the People Radio Network. Educational, inspirational, constitutional. You're listening to We the People Radio Network.
Look, I'll at least say this, Brian, because you make a lot of good points. But my own experience is a little bit different because I haven't had a lot of danger come at me. In fact, I've had no danger or threats come at me since I've been doing this. And I got in a lot of fights when I was in high school and middle school, and it wasn't always fun. It was really scary and it was really messed up. But today's a different world, and I choose not to play in that world, and I tell these demons that I believe are out there that you have no power here. I'm here for another reason. You're not coming for me. I'm coming for you. And I have that ideology, and that's what keeps me going every day. And so that's all I know how to explain this, that we're going to have to become more stronger psychologically to take on the enemy.
Yeah, I like that. That was a pretty good one, how you're... I know you're not speaking to them literally, but right, in a spiritual sense, and I like the fact that you mentioned you're coming for them, and they're not coming for you. I like that. I'm going to take that with me. Thanks. Good one.
Thank you, Brian. I want you to call back again in the future. We'll continue this conversation. Louie in Texas, good evening.
Yeah, how are you?
Doing well.
Okay, I don't know how I'm going to segue into what I originally intended to call for.
That's okay. It'll be like a radio station. They call it a train wreck. We go from a soft song to a heavy rock song.
No, that's okay, because there is a connection, because I'm going to agree with you that this battle is spiritual. And if we think we can only win it with, maintaining earthbound concepts and trying to beat our opposition, we just might as well give up before we start. So perhaps I can segue in from that. I want to go back to politics. And you had started the evening giving us what's going on in the world. And it seems like every talk show that you turn on to, whether it be this network or Alex Jones and the Genesis Network or any of these ones, all you do is we just get so overwhelmed with the bad news of what is coming at us from every angle, as if we're in the middle of a 360-degree sphere, not just a flat plane circle, but, just inside it. It's just coming at us, and we're the focal point of the attack. And it gets to the point where you almost say, oh, well, this is crazy. I can't handle this anymore. I'm just going to give up. All this stuff is coming down, and on Sunday, the last blow that came to me was this codex I can't even remember the name, Aurelius, whatever it is. And this is talk about they're going to just, by December 2009, international standards are going to decide what's going to go in our food. There won't be any of this. It's just going to be, everything will be standardized, and who knows what kind of drugs they're going to put into that food to make us submit. So I ask myself, what can we possibly do? How can we, who know what's going on, protect ourselves? And can we just sit here and just absorb the news like this, both from a spiritual and a physical, earthly position, and just expect this to go away? Are we expected to start going on the offense a little bit? Are you getting what I'm pointing out?
What I hear you saying is that it doesn't seem clear what you do about it, and I get that a lot. I look at things a little differently than most people, even Alex Jones.
Actually, I am clear what to do about it. I was just bringing it up for the purpose of discussing it. And I don't know how much time I have on this call.
Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of time here if you want to keep talking until we have the next caller in, because we do need to have a dialogue here. And others are joined to even talk to Louie himself if you want to call in. We can bring a couple callers on, 512-646-1984. Louie, go ahead and give me what your thoughts are.
Well, the Ron Paul revolution gave us some hope. Not to say that anybody who's deluded at this point to believe that the Republican Party is the place where this nation or even your state or even your town, your county, is going to be saved. I think at this point you're just too much of an ostrich. The party.
I always thought that was the most insane thing because, yeah, like you agree, you want to go on, you want to be part of the winning team, and you also want to give the guy some support because it's about the idea he represents, not the man. But the whole concept of, you see these people around me, these impeach, obsessed, T-shirt wearing, thinking that like there's something big they're going to shake up in Congress. Well, the more I look at Congress, it gets sicker and sicker and sicker and more twisted. And I'm also seeing how there's some congressmen and women that have been running into some accidents lately as well.
Well, let's just, I don't know if there's enough people who are of the same, of a constitutionalist 1776 mindset in this nation, as Ron Paul would have liked to believe, or any of us would have liked to believe. I think the man got $35 million to work with, and pretty much anybody who's going to be educated about it by now is. And the question is, does 1776 equal 2008? Most of this country is not buying that. And for us to be so deluded that the Republican Party is going to buy it is nuts. To think the whole nation is going to change is nuts. But if you go state by state and look at within each state how many Ron Paul revolutionaries are there, now you have what I view as the Constitution Party type, and then you have the Libertarian Party type. And they are distinctly different. In their lifestyle, in their theological / philosophical view, and even perhaps on a local level, what they might allow with zoning ordinance restrictions, whatever. There's going to be some difference when you get down to the local government within your county or within your incorporated city. So the question one asks is, can we be realistic about it? Well, I'd say you're in Oregon, I'm gathering, correct? You said Portland?
Yeah, I'm up here in Portland.
Well, you're not going to change Portland, bottom line. But if you look out in some rural areas of Oregon, there's some beautiful countryside and beautiful forest area.
And I grew up out there.
Right, so you look at a lightly populated county with some small towns in it. If I don't know where you would fit in your own view. I'm sure you're well aware of the difference between the Libertarian Party and the Constitution Party. Is that correct?
Very aware of it, but I don't see any of that changing anything right now. I see a design crash, and in terms of not saving Portland, you're absolutely right. There's no saving Portland, but there is connecting with people who are of like minds. They're too scared at this moment to speak up, because of everything I've read about Big Brother,
and then
I'll go back to you. But there are so many people that are so scared out there of the government putting them in a database or something that they won't do anything until they're pushed towards it. And that's kind of how it goes. And that's why 2008 is not 1776, because food is still on the table.
Okay, I'm going to agree with that. But I would have to say food was very bountiful in 17th agrarian society. But for a variety of reasons, these people who crossed the 3,000-mile moat to get here were not about to be overtaken by the people that they ran from. We've seen that there is a remnant of that spirit still in this nation, whether you're a hardcore Christian or you come from a more secular view, individualist secular view, perhaps promoted by Ayn Rand. That's how the Libertarian Party got started in the 70s. Again, there is a remnant, but it seems that everybody is so spread out and nobody's focusing on anything that's doable. We're not going to change the nation. We'll be lucky to get a Libertarian Party or a Constitution Party congressman elected, even from a place like New Hampshire, where the Free State Project landed. They're even having a hard time still getting organized to that state through the Libertarian Party or the Constitution Party. Everybody decided to focus on one small county or a few small towns out in the area where the big media is not in effect. You don't need a lot of money to get elected. And just the whole state's party, the whole Oregon Libertarian Party or the whole Oregon Constitution Party. And I know both parties are pretty formidable in your state. Focus on one or two little places and put all your resources in those places. And even if you don't move there physically, go there and vacation there. College kids, there's tons of college students who are supporting
Ron Paul. I have heard that Ashland is a wonderful place. I've also heard it's 70% women, 30% men. So I think I'm going to go to Ashland if I ever, like, get $1 million. What do you think?
Okay, how many people live in that? Is that a city or is that a...
There's a lot of people that are into permaculture and along the same lines that I'm at. So, I mean, I think about places like Ashland, meeting good people out there that have some morals still to them that aren't totally absorbed by the city. And there's some other places. There's Estacada, but you got a lot of, not to be blunt here, but white trash people still engage in a lot of crime and meth and things like that. So that's not, you want to be in an area where they don't have a lot of crime already. Because the crime,
yes,
I mean, it's already exploding in those areas.
Where there's crime, that means people are not respecting private property.
Or each other, or themselves, or connected as family, or male-female relationships being normal. All right, Louis, you can stay on the line if you like. We have to take a quick one-minute break, and then we're going
to
bring on David from California and get some of his comments.
Yes, we're in a good
Go ahead and go over to alexchancery.com and check out some of the latest news.